You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Okay, today is Friday, April 12th, 2019. This is the audio chat. This is where we just hang out and chat about fakeology and many very distantly related things. We just have a nice chat. Nothing too serious. Today, we have Jairus from Geneva, Switzerland. Hello, Jairus.
Hi, everybody. And if I can say something cheesy, if you hear this, you are the resistance.
That's Alex Jones's line, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
And we also have Gaia from Bogota, Colombia, or somewhere nearby.
Yes, somewhere nearby. Welcome. Hello. Good afternoon. And if you're listening to this, it is La Resistencia.
Gaia has a very powerful microphone. He's always the loudest, which is, you can't complain about his audio anymore. That's for sure.
Better loud than mute.
And Gaia, I finally decided what your voice sounds like, or who your voice sounds like.
Who is that?
Your voice sounds like a Muppet. You remember the Muppet Show? I think it might even be still on. Jim Henson's The Muppet Show.
Yeah. Which one?
You sound like Fozzie Bear.
I don't know that one. I will look him up. Fozzie Bear.
Okay, this is what you're going to do, because I can't type right now because I'm driving on the afternoon commute. Go to the command text channel and type dash search, search, space, Fozzie, Fozzy, Bear, Bear. And that's the best way to find videos to play, because once you see a search result that resembles what you want, you can just type in the number of the result between 1 and 9 or 1 and 10, and it will play that audio. Instead of just typing dash play and picking the audio, because it'll pick the first search result, and it might not be what you want. So always start with search.
Oh, and to come back to what we were speaking just before, the show I was speaking about is a subject Camelot with a woman named Carrie Cassidy, and she speak about crazy things like a different race of aliens that walk the earth, that she supposedly is from one of these races. It's crazy. Just listening to that, it's wonderful just for the entertainment value.
Okay, so that she. What is the other audio that critiques Alex Jones? It's called what is it? Now You're Free?
Fight. No. Knowledge Fight. It's like it's a good listen, I can say, but I can't listen to it every day. But then again, I can't even listen to Alex Jones anymore because the guy is too crazy. But when I was younger, it was fun listening to him. He had some good guests on at the time. So some guys.
Jairus, what's the name of that podcast that talks about Alex Jones?
Knowledge. Like knowledge, fight, like fist fight, knowledge fight, and I think they work on the donation model. But as I understand it, they get to pick money from some other source because it's way too much work to listen to 5 hours daily of crazy ramblings and make something entertaining out of it every day. But I'm not that much. No, I have not that much knowledge about the number of people listening to which show I listen to. It's just sometimes I find it amazing that it seems to be the main.
This is Cody from Memphis. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yes, like I was saying, that there is many shows, and even the YouTubers, I don't really understand the way they're making their money, because I don't think he pays that much. I think most of these guys made minimum wage. But maybe I'm wrong, and they're making big money. But I don't know, because most of these guys have some shitty commercial at the beginning, like for Razor, I don't know what, or something. I don't think it paid that much. But maybe I'm wrong. If anybody wants to come here and speak to me about this, and if anybody knows more than me, I'm really interested in that subject. But it's not something I know much about. But as I see it, there is not that much money to be made on this market. I mean, who is paying these guys? I mean, if some kids on YouTube is watching a YouTuber, I don't think that makes that much money for the guy. And they all have a PayPal or something like that, but I don't think anybody gives that much money to listen to those guys. So I don't know. I really don't know about that. But that's a subject that is really interesting to me. And if anybody has more knowledge than me, like I said, I'm always listening. Because that's something that is fascinating. The whole internet thing is really, really interesting. For the people that have seen it grow from something like waiting 2 or 3, 5 minutes to see a picture, paying crazy fee to access internet or something like that, from now, we all have a smartphone, high-speed connection. So it's really a subject that is really interesting, because I think it really changed the world as we know it. And maybe the whole point of the giving people this connection is that we have so much thing to pick from that we lost the main point of the problem, and that is living. Maybe that's the whole point. Like I said, I don't know much about the technical aspect or the whole money making, but we can agree that it's a culture creation. So at least we can agree that, because we all know that most of the things that we see or hear in the media or whatever the source is designed for a certain purpose. So maybe the whole point of this is just to control people in another way. And you think you can find the real information on the web. It's just a bunch of crap that people have put there. So I don't know about that. I am not sure that the giving people the access to bigger quantity of data is good. But maybe I'm wrong.
Jerry, am I coming through? Like
yes, I can hear you well. I was trying not to have dead audio, my best, but it's not easy. I was kind of rambling about is the internet a good thing? Is the fact that people all get high-speed data access is a good thing, or is it making people less and less close together? That was what I was rambling about. So everybody, what's your take? Is it good? Is it better right now? Or was it better before, when you knew every people on your block, and then when you knew more people? Or is it better now that you can reach people from all over the world, speak about anything you want, find your own competitive community, your own niche, the people like you? Is it better like that, or was it better before, when somehow you get to more conform to a model, a pre-existing model, because maybe you were into furries, you want to wear a bear costume and walk around, but you could not find the people like you before, and now you can. Is it a better thing, or is it worse? That's the question I want to throw around. That's the thing I want to discuss this day. Is it better, or was it better before? And I'm not so sure about that, because as people are aging, it's clear that we think that the older time were before, but maybe it's just because we have more reference in this time. Maybe it's just like that. So that is a debate I want to have on the whole internet thing. La 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 la
The bot made it into the channel. You there, Gareth?
Yes, I'm good.
You there, Gareth?
Yes, yes, I'm good. I will make the bot stop. That's wonderful. I love that. I love the song and I love this bot. It's wonderful. Yes, when you guys were leaving, I tried to ramble for a few minutes, but I realized it was unlistenable too, so I tried playing with the bot. So here I am, all alone, again. Alone again. That's why we will listen right now.
When a little while from now, I'm not feeling any less tough. I promise myself to treat myself and visit a nearby town. I'm climbing to the top, will throw myself off. In an effort to make ends of who ever what it's like when you're shattered, left standing in the lurch at a church where people are staying.
Guy, are you there?
Is that the Mamas or the Papas?
It's the Beatles with the fake oh. Paul McCartney.
Is it?
You heard this conspiracy, this theory, this crazy theory I heard someday that.
Guy, am I coming through?
Yes.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, Jerris. Sorry, I missed it.
Yes, I was saying that there is a theory that Paul McCartney, the real Paul McCartney, died in the 60s, and he was replaced by another guy.
Yeah, and Mark Tukarski from Peace of Mind was looked into it, and he says... And I think he has a good argument that he was actually twins, and they still are both—they're both still alive. And if you look at the photos over the years of Paul McCartney, you indeed see two different people. They are very close related, because they're probably twins. But they are different, but they look alike.
Oh, that will make sense. It will be easier like that.
Can you speak a bit closer to the mic?
As I said, it made sense. It would be easier like that to make it like twins than to bring another guy and replace him altogether. But the theory was more that the real one was dead and that they replaced him with another one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was a car accident in 1966, right?
I think it was something like that, 64 or 66. I didn't mention the date because I was not sure.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
You don't have free will. You have the appearance of free will.
Hey, that's new. That's cool.
But anyway, like said The Clash, Pony Beatlemania is beating the dust.
The Beatlemania is what?
Biting the dust.
Oh, yeah.
That was in the song of the Clash.
Ah, I thought that was Queen.
No, it was the Clash. I am sure of that.
Another one bites the dust is from Queen, right?
Yes, but they don't speak about the Beatles. They were too polite.
Ah, okay, no. Oh, yeah. Too closely related.
Exactly.
I never liked the Beatles.
You never liked the Beatles?
No. I think it is cheap pop music. What?
Yes, it's catchy.
No, but it put me off. It didn't catch me on.
Okay. But it's really catchy. It's like you can listen to that while you work or something like that. But it's true that that's not something you want to buy the disc.
From that era, I prefer Chuck Berry. I mean, this guy was really good. You like him?
Chuck Berry. The old ones. The pioneers.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes, but supposedly, the guy from the Rolling Stone, the Living Dead, what is it? The guy that took all the drugs in the world and is supposed to be still alive.
Mick Jagger?
No.
The one who drowned in his own swimming pool?
No, he's alive. He's a member of the group. He's the other guy. There is Mick Jagger and then there is the other guy, but I can't find his name. And if anybody...
Keith Richards?
That's the guy, Keith Richards.
Okay.
Yes, that guy. He's supposed to have worked a lot with Chuck Berry at the time, if I remember correctly. But it's like I said, when you guys were out, it's all a culture creation. It's all supposed to serve one meaning.
I mean, some of these people, they are really... I mean, they're not talented themselves. They're just performing the music written by someone else. But let's play Chuck. I have it lined up. And he performed. I mean, he was a performer, a real good performer. And also, he sang himself. It's no playbacking, right? I don't know if he wrote the lyrics and the music, but... I mean, it's rock and roll, and rock and roll is probably the easiest music to play, or at least the chords, right? So let's play one song. If it works. It doesn't work. Why not? Is there another one?
I posted the bot. I think.
Ah, okay. Then you can you
resume.
Resume and stop. My God, that stuff, she's still in my, no point in us. Okay. Yeah.
Running to and fro, hard working at the mill, never fail in the mail, yet come a rotten bill. Too much monkey business, too much monkey business, too much monkey business. Me to be involved in. Salesman talking to me, trying to run me up a creek. So you can buy it, go and try it. You can pay me next week. Ah, too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Blonde hair, good looking, trying to get me hooked. Want me to marry, get a home, settle down, write a book. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Yeah. Same thing every day, getting up, going to school. No need of me complaining, my objections overrule. Too much monkey business, too much monkey business, too much monkey business for me to be involved.
I think I understand that we are not supposed to listen to the full song. Or at least we are supposed to cut it.
That's the good thing about rock and roll. It's only 2 minutes.
Yes, but I think of a possible copyright problem.
It's not really that. It's mainly because nobody wants to listen to other people's songs. Can you guys hear me?
We are not supposed to play the rock.
Yes, I can. I can.
Okay, sir. I don't know what was happening. I couldn't hear anything. guys hear Fozzie Bear? I think Napoleon played it.
Something wrong, dime gone, will mail all the scooter operator for telling me a tale. Ah, too much fun to be
there. All right, that's enough. That's good. That's enough of that.
Okay, time once again for that furry, fuzzy, funny man, fabulous, freewheeling, fast and frantic, Fozzie Bear!
Hey. Oh, wait. Not so fast. Tonight, I am going to use your assistance.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, sir. You and I are going to tell the world's funniest joke. This is all spontaneous, unrehearsed, right, Froggy?
It's unrehearsed, yes.
Okay. Now, Frog of my heart,
yes.
You will just wait until I say the word here. When you hear me say the word here, you will rush up to me and say, "Good grief, the comedian's a bear."
Good grief, the comedian's a bear.
Check.
When you say the word here.
Right.
Gotcha.
Okay, here we go. Ready? Okay, here we go. Now then, hiya. You're a wonderful looking audience. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good grief, the comedian's a bear. You just said here.
That was the wrong here.
Which is the right here?
The other here.
Sure.
Go. Hey, folks, this is a story you guys love to hear.
Good grief. What story?
All right.
But do I sound like him?
Really?
Yeah. I think
no.
So. Do you think so, Jared?
I think it was a joke.
But no, let me speak like a proper Dutchman, because in Holland we all speak English like this.
No, it's not so much how you speak, it's just the sound of your voice.
Okay.
It's the sound of your voice. It's more the sound of your voice. It's not the speech
but
pattern.
I don't think the accent is really important, or the voice even.
No, it's not. Okay, well. Everyone hears differently. Okay, so you don't think so. All right, that's fine. All right, I got a few minutes left. What's going on in the world? Anything exciting?
Not in the world. Far, far away from here. The black hole.
The black hole.
Oh, right.
I've seen a picture of the black hole.
Yeah, you know, I think the black hole, I think that nomenclature, the naming, is in the same vein as Uranus. I really think that the people that create these things, I really think they're real sick humorists. It's kind of sick humor.
Garris, can you please mute if you talk to someone else?
Oh, see, I speak to you.
Okay,
oh, we didn't hear you.
No.
I think that the naming is a bit of a joke, but I put a post on fakeologist.com on the black hole hoax. And what I was really alluding to is I wonder what they talk about in science fiction, because science fiction has taken over space science anyway. And so I wonder, what do they talk about in science fiction? Because that must be really far out there in terms of believability.
But wasn't that the case from the very beginning, Jules Verne? I mean, he invented space travel, literally,
yeah.
Right?
No. Yes.
Arthur C. Clarke was an advisor to the Apollo program. What the fuck?
Yes.
Yes. But
to the Apollo program story writing.
I was a young child. Those were great books. You can't deny that.
Oh, were they?
When you are a kid and you read Jules Verne, it's incredible.
Yeah, true. It's a good story, but... he was the one allegedly predicting the escape velocity, which doesn't exist anyway, but right, of Earth, from the Earth at 11 meters a second.
Oh, right, yeah, there's that 11.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of this black hole story, I thought it was funny that they promoted a female MIT
interesting to know.
Astrophysicist or math.
Because I've read some of them, but I can't say that... I read them all.
All right.
The first modern solution of general relativity that would characterize a black hole was found by Carl Schwarzschild, which means black shield, in 1916.
Oh, wow.
although its interpretation as a region of space from which nothing can escape, was first published by another Jew, David Finkelstein, in 1958.
Okay. 1958.
Yeah.
And who was the latest black hole discovery picture attributed to a female woman?
It was not a big
a female.
The thing was theorized. So yeah, it's not like a.
Can you hear me,
Gaia? Something outrageous that
yeah,
he was claiming. I mean, it got the time to
sink in.
Garrett, you cannot hear it when App is talking because you talk over him. But the name is, it's a very strange name, Shep Duleman. So it's a Dutch last name and probably from Russian, probably Russian Jewish, but Russian first name. Astronomer at Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics and head of the effort known as the Event Horizon Telescope.
Okay, but I was highlighting another girl that discovered the math program or whatever from MIT. I put it on my blog there, fakeologist.com.
Was it France? Another strange name. Who's called France? First name?
No, Cordova. Her name was Cordova. Katie.
Okay. Katie?
No, her name was Kate or something.
We have Shira Markov, an astrophysicist at the University of Amsterdam. This is all from the Atlantic.com, what I'm reading.
It's like a series of names you picked at random on the video game.
What?
The name you said, it's like when you want to pick a random name in a video game. It's just like you pick random and you start with the name.
Exactly.
Right.
But what I said was, when I did my post, I was wondering where NASA was in all this.
Garris, please. I mean, cannot hear App. App's talking. Maybe you have him on... You have to right-click on his name and look at his volume, because maybe he's too low for you, and that you don't hear him.
Maybe I'm muted.
No, I hear you fine. You're fine. And
I can't seem to
hear
you. I will disconnect and come back.
Okay.
I think Discord is doing strange things to both of us. But whatever the case, I was wondering where NASA was in this story, because it's a space story, and... Then I saw only one attribution to NASA, and they were saying that the woman that wrote the computer program to send man to the moon was a woman.
Radio on fakeologist.com.
Right.
What's this fakeologist.com suddenly?
Well, I have little bumpers every 15 and 45 past the hour.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying it out.
Yeah, okay, no, I know it. But in this article from The Atlantic, there is no NASA and there is no... Oh, there is Sarah something is a female.
No, go to fakeologist.com, you'll see the link.
But you pointed out, and that's right, because they don't even claim it's a photo. It's a composite rendered image of various sources, of probably radio telescopes and not visual.
Well, I think that's their excuse for all photographs or all images now. They're all composites. Even the picture, allegedly, of the Earth is a composite.
Okay, when we are finished discussing, then I can play a nice song. Katie Bauman, which is another Dutch last name. I mean, they're 29-year-old, of course.
Yeah.
But
she looks like she just found a good... YouTube channel, the way she's looking in the picture. Does anyone believe she found it? I mean, it's just a face to go with, a pretty face to go with this absurd story.
Of course. I mean, they select someone. It's like the Kalutran girls that SMJ is fond of, right?
Yes.
And of course, MIT computer scientist Margaret Hamilton. And she was the one who helped put a man on the moon.
Yes, so, that's what I was... I never knew... Yeah, I never heard of her. But that's
no,
where NASA
no,
got... that's where NASA got inserted into the story. That's what I thought was funny.
But the funny thing that I think that the most funny thing of this is when you look at the map, and indeed there are, if I get it right, there are radio telescopes, or not normal visual lens telescopes. Is that they use Earth-bound telescopes. And that is right. I mean, those are real. I've been there. I've visited them in Chile. They're real. And why do they build them, right? I mean, they are built, I think, in my view, to pass on the data that is supposedly coming from Hubble and other telescopes in space. I mean, their data is coming from somewhere, and it's coming from the Earth.
Yes, okay. What is a radio telescope? Is that where the magic comes in?
It's a good question. I don't know how it actually works. I'm not so...
Does that fall into the category of electron microscope? More magic?
I think electron microscopes are real. I don't know if they are using electrons or so, but the images they acquire, I haven't used them, but I think they are real. I mean, you can take real images of real, zooming really, really, really far, but it's scanning electron microscope is the name, but I don't know how it works either, so I cannot comment.
Yeah, well, I think that's more hocus pocus. If you look into electron microscopes, I don't buy into them either. I think that's more magic.
So they just Photoshop an image and they pass it off as coming from the microscope?
Well, I think SMJ has done a lot of work on electron microscopes because they're all invented by the same type of inventor that he likes to pick on in his research. Let's put it that way. There's a lot of magic involved with an electron microscope.
Yeah, it could be. I've never used it, but
if you use
normal microscope,
a light microscope. I have two. You can buy them. You can buy a kiddie version for small amounts of money.
Mm-hmm. The same with normal telescopes, right? I mean, I haven't seen it myself, but I know it. That happens. I mean, you can see rings on Saturn. It's fake. It's not like the NASA images, which are Photoshop, but I mean, there is something around Saturn, right? And
yes. Okay. I agree.
I mean, have you seen the photo I've taken with my camera? Just my normal camera, just a very compact camera, no SLR, nothing. I have taken a photo of the four moons of Jupiter.
No, I've never seen that.
The four big moons of Jupiter. I will look it up. I'll post it in the chat notes. And it was great. I mean, I was looking at what I thought was a star, and then I fired up Stellarium to find out what I was looking at, and then I took a photo with my camera, just my normal camera, zoomed in maximum zoom, and then the moons of Jupiter were on this on the photo.
Okay.
The four biggest moons. Here it is. But is there something else what happened in the last days? I don't follow anything, so I don't know.
No, I don't really have anything. Well, Julian Assange story moved along on Thursday. That's a boring story, really.
Yeah, indeed. One thing, I saw literally 2 seconds of TV today. It's hardly escapable here when you're outside in a shop or in the hospital or wherever. And there they were talking about something anti-asteroid shield or something. Something spacey.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what it was, but
I haven't heard of that. Simon posted on Clues Forum that we're coming up to the 50th. Anniversary of the so-called Apollo landing on the moon, the 50th anniversary this year, which I believe is in July.
Yes, and they are planning a speci-
a specific Wikipedia main page for that.
Oh, all right. Maybe you should do a complimentary Fakopedia page.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a good one, yeah. So this is the photo I took with my camera in the live stream show notes.
All right, I'll have to look later. I'm driving.
But yeah,
I'll
okay.
be, as John Adams used to say, I'll be pulling into my driveway shortly.
Yeah, he's missed. I mean, he's...
Yeah, he was a good talker.
Yeah.
Sure wish we got the explanation for the whole debacle that saw him leave, but I guess we might never hear about it.
Yeah, I mean, what would happen if your family says, if someone finds out about Fakeologist, and your children or your wife gets threatened or harassed or something at school or at some club, somewhere in real life, and she comes to you and say, hey, listen, this is happening. I would like it that you stop this. Would you do it? I hope so, you would, right? I mean, family first.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I can't even barely remember the story. We didn't really hear it too much from John, but yeah, he was an interesting guy to listen to.
No.
I'm not gonna badmouth him. But I think Unreal and I don't know, maybe you really unpacked that story pretty
no,
well.
No, so, not me, no.
That was Unreal.
Yeah, you know, my hesitation towards Unreal. X-Files, he did something to it.
Oh, X-Files looked into it too, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a very choppy audio chat. I'm suspecting my connection. My connection's been very poor on the mobile.
I'm going to
jump out. I think it's just the highway. I there's at least 5 really bad spots that I don't know if it's connecting fully or only half, and I can hear, you can hear me, but I can't hear you, so it's just not a good connection.
Yeah. All right, Napoleon shared another link from the Daily Express about the black hole.
Yeah, I've never been interested in
the sound of a black hole. No, please, yeah.
I've never been interested in any of these black hole space astrophysics stories. They've always been mind-numbingly boring and completely unbelievable. So I went to a museum. We have a science museum north of way north, and I sat in a pretty much empty theater that was running a something or other on dark matter, and it was just incredibly hard to believe. It was just, to me, it's just nonsense, so I really couldn't get into it in any way.
I now click the link of Napoleon, and it goes to the Daily Express, and I get a pop-up. I cannot see the article because I get a pop-up. How we use your data. These cookies are necessary for the website to function and cannot be switched off in our systems. Without this type of technology, our services, with capital S, won't work properly or won't be able to provide certain features and functionalities. And then I get 12 privacy policies I can click or continue to partners, but I won't do that. But 12 different privacy policies from Google, Brightcove, Amazon Europe, all kinds of other shit. No, okay,
wow.
No story.
Very invasive. Okay, I'll talk to you. I'll come back later. I just have to drop out for a while if you're here.
Okay.
Hello, this is Hans.
A friend of mine once told me to do a search online. Search for photos of Earth, he said. This shit will blow your mind. So I opened up the Google and I looked for photos of Earth. Well, a lot of photos came up. He said, click on the first. He said, that's the famous blue marble that everybody's seen. We've seen this photo 1,000 times upon our TV screen. But let me tell you something about that famous shot. Not a photo at all, man. It's made in Photoshop. Cause there ain't no photo.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one time donation. Thank you for your support.
Because I thought the blue marble was a photo all this time. Well, don't you think that's strange? He said suspiciously. Now, the fact that it ain't a photo seems pretty weird to me. I mean, the most important photo a man could ever take. This huge, iconic image turns out to be a fake. Well, I couldn't quite believe it, man. I was pretty shocked. I needed further proof that this photo's Photoshop. He said, look up Robert Simon. He made that cartoon ball. He's the guy you should research. He works for NASA and all. He openly admits that it's all just artistry. He said, and I quote, it's Photoshop, but it has to be. There ain't no photographs to let somebody tell me why. They're all just Photoshop cartoons, they're all just CGI. No photographic proof of a code, no, none at all. Why the hell can no one take a photo of this ball? Yep, every photo of the Earth is artist trickery. All the photos on Google, man, are as fake can be. Download all the photos and put them side by side. Compare all the continents. They're each a different size. Compare all the colors. Each globe a different shade. If all of these were photos, man, they should look the goddamn same. Where's the continuity? There's none. No, none at all. All that NASA gives us is a bunch of cartoon balls. Cause there ain't no photographs to let somebody tell me why. They're all just Photoshop cartoons, they're all just CGI. No photographic proof of a code, no, none at all. Why the hell can no one take a photo of this ball? Now we're supposed to have this telescope, right, that's flying past the stars, taking beautiful photos of Jupiter and Mars. Well, I've got a small suggestion, NASA. Here's something you can do. Point that thing at planet Earth and take a shot or two, because there should be goddamn thousands of photos of where we live. But Hubble ain't taken one. That's suspicious, don't you think? We got all these fancy pictures of spinning galaxies, but not one goddamn photo of the Earth for us to see. Cause there ain't no photographs to let somebody tell me why. They're all just Photoshop cartoons, they're all just CGI. No photographic proof of a code, no, none at all. Why the hell can no one take a photo of this ball? There ain't no photographs to let somebody tell me why. They're all just Photoshop cartoons, they're all just CGI. No photographic proof of a code, no, none at all. Why the hell can no one take a photo of this ball?
So, that's about the photos from space. Is my internet working? If you look up the blue marble on Wikipedia, then it is an image of Earth taken on December the 7th, 1972, allegedly at the last mission to the moon, from a distance of about 29,000 kilometers, so 18,000 miles, so 9, from the planet's surface. It was taken by the crew of the Apollo 17 spacecraft on its way to the moon, and is one of the most reproduced images in history. The image has the official NASA designation AS-17, Masonic number 17, 148, so that's 13, 227, 29 is 11, 27, 9, right? And mainly shows the Earth from the Mediterranean Sea to Antarctica. Yeah, but if you look at the photo, so-called photo, image, they call it an image, they don't call it a photo, it is impossible. Because you have Africa, and you have like most of the Indian Ocean and the Southern Atlantic, and behind the clouds some part of Antarctica. But all the rest of the Earth is in the back. It's not visible. It's on the other side, on the back side of the Earth. And it's impossible, because this is about 25% of the Earth, what we see here in surface area. And 75% is on the other side. And that should be more or less 50%, 50-50. I mean, there's a little bit of distortion at the edges, but it's minor. And if you take a tennis ball or something, and you draw the Earth on the continents on top of it, then you have a certain view, which you see, and on the other side, you don't see it, and that is more or less 50-50. So it's not possible that you see 25% on the Earth on one side, and the other 75% needs to be crammed on the other side of the Earth. Sound wave, or if you're still listening to our chats, then I asked you the question before a year ago, and you never answered. But it's impossible, man. And the whole Pacific Ocean is already more than 50% of the Earth, or 50% more or less of the Earth. And that is not the only thing that's in the background. Europe, Asia, North America, South America, Australia, Southeast Asia, and the whole Pacific Ocean, and the Northern Atlantic, and the rest of Antarctica, and the Arctic Ocean. It's all behind. Yeah, that's not possible. That is a pity, guys. And they say, then history, the photograph was taken about 5 hours and 6 minutes, so 11, after launch of the Apollo 17 mission, and about 1 hour 54 minutes, 9, after the spacecraft left its parking orbit around Earth to begin its trajectory to the Moon. The time of Apollo 17's launch, 12:33 a.m. EST, meant that Africa was in daylight during the early hours of the spacecraft's flight. With the December solstice approaching, Antarctica was also illuminated. Apollo 17 is also a funny one. It was the first so-called mission to the Moon, where they sent a geologist. And it was the last mission. It doesn't make any sense. And we will be the first, at the first mission, you would send someone who knows about rocks and minerals and all this stuff. Wouldn't do that at the last mission. The Apollo 17 image, released during a surge in environmental activism during the 1970s, became a symbol of the environmental movement. As a depiction of Earth's frailty, vulnerability, and isolation amid the vast expanse of space. The problem is, as with all the images from NASA, is that the background is pitch black. And that is, as we have discussed many times before, impossible. Because you have stars in the background. Many, many stars. And they should give off light. So there should be gray, not black. There should be different shades of gray because of the light coming from the stars. Maybe you cannot make out the individual stars at the settings of the camera and all that stuff. No, yeah, I mean, that's right. You cannot, if it's too much exposure, then you cannot make out individual stars. But we're not talking about individual stars. We're talking about combined light. Millions of stars, even in the small
area behind the Earth. Hey, Garrus, you're right back at the right moment, man. Hello? Monsieur Jerry, are you there?
Yes.
Hello.
I have to restart the phone and then some other thing to do.
Ah, now you sound good. Yeah, he was suffering a bad connection in the truck. So. It's okay. I mean, in the meantime, I had a small solo intermezzo. I played aptly the right music from the conspiracy guru, music guru. You know him?
Who is he?
Well, if you haven't, I mean, you can see in the comments which one it is. Check out this music. It's great, really. And the unfortunate thing is he is a flat earther. But I don't care about that. His music is great, and that's what it's about. And I played the song about photographs of Earth, and then I talked about the blue marble a bit. So just right in between our chat with Ab and you coming back. So it was perfect.
Okay. So will he come back later, or...?
Probably yes. But he's going through some areas where there's less reception or so, I don't know. I mean, he lives in the first world country, Canada, but apparently not.
Yes, but even in Switzerland, you have bad reception.
I know, but I mean, you live in the mountains, right? I mean, there are mountains.
No, everywhere. It's a cliché.
The Alps are a hoax? Is that a new, the new one?
No, but it's a cliché to think that all Swiss people live in the mountains.
No, I know, of course. Come on.
I live in the plains.
Yes. Yeah, well, you live in an intermontane valley, I would say, right?
Yes, exactly.
Me too. I live on a mountainous savanna.
Yeah, it's good for the climate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's good there, but in Switzerland, you want to live most close to Italy. It's where the weather is the best.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I had family there, but they are old, so. They did not have the chance to speak Italian. Not that much anyway. I can speak some, but not that much.
I had Italian at school even for 1 year, but
I were you in school?
In Holland. Back in Holland.
And did you teach you Italian?
Yeah, that was an how you say it? Like an option. I chose that course. I wouldn't say that I speak Italian, but I can, I learned Spanish after that, so that's the problem also with my French. I mean, I had 4 years of French, so in theory I should speak French, but it's all replaced by Spanish, right? I mean, I think in Spanish, but I'm thinking a Roman language, that's the problem, so, yeah.
Yes, that's the problem I have with German and English.
Uh-huh, okay, yeah.
The German I had in school was replaced by English.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have German in school here.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah, we do.
Yes, but here, nobody speaks German really good. But like I said, the German, they speak a really good French. Better French.
Oh, yeah, oh, that's... Okay.
Yes, so if you see somebody like...
Hello, this is SMJ, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, that's the 15-minute bumper app is now on there.
Okay, so I was saying Roger Federer speaks perfect French, and almost perfect French, and perfect German, and perfect English. But he's not really Swiss anyway.
But how is the Swiss French? Is that as far away from German the Schweizerdeutsch is or
no,
not?
No.
Is it much more French?
No, it's the same. It's the same. We have a few words, like the thing to mop the floor. We have a special word for that in some region. There is some specificity, but not that much. And I can say that in Geneva we have a kind of a French accent, more than a Swiss accent. But if you go to other speaking French speaking region, you can find some people with colorful accent, if I can say.
Like Lausanne?
No, Lausanne is kind of like normal because it's a city. But if you go farther, like Fribourg or even Bienne or Fribourg, but the best accent for the French in Switzerland is the Jura, the region of Jura.
Okay.
They have a way to say the R, the letter R, that is wonderful.
I mean, that is already it's not the Alps anymore already, right? I mean, it's the Foreland.
Yes, yes.
It's where the name Jurassic comes from, right?
Indeed. It's crazy. And I've said that the other day. I did find the fossil when I was a child in the mountain.
Mm-hmm. What kind of fossil?
Kind of like, how can I say that? A snail, but with a shell.
Yeah, okay.
An escargot.
Yeah. And a gastropod, you call it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I did find one when we were in an excursion with the school. So there is only two options. One is that I'm a really lucky boy, and then the other one is that there is a bigger conspiracy than I thought.
Nah, well, I don't think so from my geological point of view. It makes perfect sense. I guess probably it was a Cretaceous or a Jurassic snail. And it's uplifted in the Alps or wherever, right? I mean, I have found here oysters here in the Andes as well. So that's perfectly normal.
It's at my mother's place, but if I see her, I will post a picture.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, cool.
But it's a small one. I just got lucky. I was looking down and I found it.
Yeah, I mean, looking for fossils, really, I mean, that's how I started to become interested in geology, because I did it with my parents in France, and it's great, because it's so magical, right? I mean, you find stuff, and yeah, it's being lucky, but it's also knowing how to steer your luck. It's not like, if you go in blindly, no, okay, but if you recognize the rocks, the type of rock, and so you tend to find more fossils.
Okay. I can't tell you how many hours I watched that piece of rock. I love it. It's one of my favorite items in the world. But that did not turn me into geology. That turned me into the dinosaur and all that when I was a child. But it's fascinating that you can find them in the Alps. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, I would really like to know Switzerland better. I've been only one day to Zurich, so I don't know Switzerland at all.
But I think Holland, Netherlands is quite similar. It's a small country in Europe.
but it's very different because Holland is all flat and you live in a mountainous country, right?
Yes, that's true. But I mean the kind of mindset, we are kind of chill people and not really implicated in anything. But you get the High Court of International Justice.
In that sense, in like a political sense, like you have the Swiss banks and you have the Dutch International Court of Justice and the Yugoslavia Court and all that. Yeah, in that sense, and both countries have, compared to the neighbors, big or small, like Belgium is small, but they had more psyops than we did, you and me.
Yes. Yes, many more. I don't think you had that much in the...
No, not at all.
A few, because that was all this noise about the director. What was the name of the guy? That was
Theo van Gogh. Theo van Gogh, yes.
Yes, that guy.
I used to be a big fan of him.
Okay.
He wrote columns in the Metro, the free newspaper, and they were great. I mean, this guy was an extremely good writer, really sarcasm and really, really sharp, really controversial, politically incorrect, really good. But he faked his death.
He could have to fake his death, for sure.
But he did. It was in the middle of the day. It was on at 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning in Amsterdam by a Moroccan guy. But luckily that didn't happen. So he is probably retiring in the United States because that's where that was his favorite country.
Oh, you're breaking up.
Oh yeah, sorry. I will go inside again. No, he retired in the U.S. probably because that was his favorite country.
Can you hear me? Speaking about the guy Theo van Gogh, that was not the. I don't know much about the story, but guy, I can tell you more because, of course, it was more close to him.
Well, actually, I looked into that. I looked into the story.
At the time, he didn't register much because it was not. It was in the general context, if I can say.
Yeah.
So it was background noise, but the specific must be really fascinating. The specific of the case, as Gaia seems to think, he's supposed to be a great mind.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I still think he was. I mean,
can hear Gaia back to.
Can you hear me, Gary? No, you have switched off your phone, your audio. I will write you.
Oh, I could not hear you for a minute, but now you're back. So you were speaking about this guy, Theo van Gogh.
Yeah, I mean, you had your headphones switched off, so you didn't hear.
But I did not touch. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You were speaking about the guy van Gogh.
Yeah.
Wasn't he involved with a lady that after the event
could
go to the United States?
Ayan Hirsi Ali. Okay. She is a Somalian woman who became.
It was a strange noise.
Right, I mean, that's independent of all the hoaxing. I mean, that is horrible. And that happens, right? That's real. So, and she was... They made a movie together, Theo van Gogh and her, against that. And the name was Submission. That was the movie against radical Islam. So, yeah, that is... but I wrote a piece, and I sent it to Miles Mathis, even, but he didn't receive it, so it was never published. But I have it somewhere still. It's just, yeah, here. It's, where is my piece?
What is
it? It is 31 pages long.
Okay. So it's almost a short story.
Yeah, I went into the two combined, Theo van Gogh and Pim Fortuyn, who was his friend.
Okay.
So those were the only two big psyops in Holland in the early 2000s.
I can only remember one in Switzerland, but maybe I don't know the other one. But if I can remember only
the Order of the Sun, you mean?
No, that was before, that was in 94, and then again in France in 97. No, the most modern one would be in 2001, I think, in Zug, somebody shot the parliament, some guy with his military-issued assault rifle.
On the train?
No, the parliament, in session, they were in session, and the guy... just come there and started shooting. I don't remember much about the particular of the case because I was 17 at the time and I clearly have other preoccupation. But I don't know if it was real or anything. I just remember it as we were speaking, in fact.
Okay.
So the Zug massacre took place on 27 September 2001 in the city of Zug, canton of Zug, Switzerland. In the canton's parliament, Friedrich Laibacher shot dead 14 people before killing himself, apparently in 3 minutes.
Oh yeah, okay.
And I can attest that that it is a good rifle, because it seems to have other weapons. But just the military rifle in Switzerland is very good, so imagine in 3 minutes you can shoot dead 14 people without a problem, if they don't hide, if they are stuck or surprised. But I am not sure about that. I am really not sure that that there is any truth to it.
How many wounded were there?
18.
Yeah, and did that injury? Yeah, that is the suspicious thing, right? I mean, I wouldn't claim I am an expert in shootings or so, but if you would randomly shoot people, a group of people, you would have like 25% people who would die from fatal wounds and 75% wounded, more or less. If it's like 50-50, like in this case, more or less, that is different, right?
If I had 91 rounds, then he ignited a homemade bomb and then took his own life. His main intended target was the cantonal minister Robert Bissig, who was unarmed. Reibacher left a suicide note titled Day of Wrath for the Zug Mafia. It referred to his belief there was a plot against him. His assault was the first of its type in Switzerland and one of the cantons of Zug Darkest Day. So, it was the worst, and I don't remember any big event in Switzerland after that. Occasional murder-suicide.
Yeah, that can happen, right? I mean, it's not like nobody dies, nobody gets hurt, ever. I mean, it's stupid. It's, of course, I mean, especially crime passionnel, right, that is happening.
Yes, of course. And, in Switzerland, most of the guys do the military service and then take home an assault rifle, a fully functioning assault rifle. So, on my days, and that I speak in 2005, they give you a box with 50 bullets to take home also.
Wow.
But the thing was close, like a corned beef box, you know? So if you unlock it, then every year when you come to your 3 weeks a year, you're supposed to present it, and if it's unlocked or unsealed, you could be in trouble.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Those extra film quotes and samples, they're great after the hour break. Keep them up.
So what I was saying is that at my time, I can say that until at least 2012, and maybe even now, but I can say for sure, all Swiss soldiers took home a military automatic rifle and 50 bullets. So if you really want to make a standoff with the police or anything like that, they will be in trouble.
But, in theory, what you could do is either acquire in Switzerland itself, or you drive to the Balkans where there's much more availability of bullets,
and you leave
the corned beef tin intact, and use other bullets, right? And
yes, but what they seem to say is that sometimes people snap and shoot random people, and that never happened in Switzerland. But I can say that most people have, many people have bullets and a rifle. So
yeah.
If you just snap, it's easy. You don't have to drive anywhere, just even go to a shop. Because you can acquire bullets in Switzerland. It's kind of a tricky, but you can do that. And you can steal it from the army when you are there. Not that difficult.
But if you really want, you take your car. Take your car on a Saturday afternoon in a busy shopping street, and you can kill multiple people with something as simple as your car, right? And this is
the point I was wanting to make is that I don't see that most of the shooting, the big shooting, are real, because here there are a big potential for a big shooting, and there is not that much. And I can say, for having doing my time in the army in Switzerland, that there are some really dumb people there, and they give them the same rifle as I had. And I can say for myself that when I was 20, I was really, really dumb, and they still give me the rifle. So I mean, that kind of proof that there is not that much truth in all of those shootings. Because it creates an environment that makes an easy access to weapon and bullets. It doesn't seem to provable, I can say, access to a weapon and bullet that doesn't seem to make a spike in a big shooting or something.
No,
I mean, we have a great suicide rate, but that's a first world country problem, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's different than just you can point that. But there was a big debate on weapon in Switzerland those last years. Like in the
yeah, because if I imagine it right, I mean, that's what I heard. I don't know it, but that Switzerland has one of the most liberal gun laws in Europe, right?
Well, what I can say is that if you have a criminal record, you can buy a weapon, but... apart from that, you can buy a weapon really easily, and I can even I that have a criminal record can buy a weapon, not in a shop, but I mean even without going to some trafficker or something like that, I can really really find a weapon really easily.
You give money to a friend and then he buys an official weapon. That. You can do that every time. Right?
Not even that, but I mean I can find some. Small people that collect guns.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's not that hard to find a weapon if you really want it. That's not the point. But I mean, even people that have a weapon in their home did not snap that much. So I don't know. I don't know about that. I think most of the shooting, the big shooting, is not real.
Mm.
Just because the proof of the experience that if you give weapon and bullet to people, there is not that much. Happening, but then again, you give them a weapon and bullets in an economical environment that is good. There is work, and if you don't have work, there is a social benefit. So that's change something also.
No, yeah, of course. I mean, but I think what is real is the illegal weapon shootings, like the drug gangs and other criminal gangs, and that is, of course, not. A, it's not reported, or maybe in passing, but not a big story in the mainstream news. No, it's just one on page 15 of the newspaper. Yeah, someone got murdered by a gun in some drug-related incident, right? But those weapons, they're actively spread, right? I mean, it's just like what they did with the crack cocaine epidemic in Los Angeles in the 1970s and 80s. They just sell it there, right? I mean, they actively support criminal gangs, right?
As you know, it in Europe, it's special because all the automatic, the war weapon, supposed to come from ex-Yugoslavia because of the war they had there. So that's a special case, if I can say, because I don't think there is that much truth in that because if you watch some war video from Bosnia or from Serbia, you can see that those people have old weapon at the time, not that much big equipment. They kind of like people that left they feel that after the crop to go to war, if you know what I mean. So I don't think there is that much truth that even now, you know, when somebody attack a bank truck. I don't think there is that much proof that all those weapons came from this war, because it's not like 26, 27, 27 years old, and they're supposed to still have those weapons. I am not sure.
I mean, they are closer to two of the biggest weapons manufacturers in the world, countries, which are Turkey and Israel, right? I mean, both those countries are main weapon producers. And these weapons need to be sold and then eventually used in some way. Right? I mean,
But Israeli individual weapons are really specific and not that easy to find even on black market, I think. I think Turkish weapons are really, really, really more easy because what did the Turkish produce? Like AK-47 or some kind of those model, I think. Mainly. Yes, there is a shotgun that they produce also. A good shotgun.
Well, I can say, I mean, I know that the Israelis, they supported the war for drugs here in Colombia. I mean, they sold weapons to the cartels, and real murders were happening with that. Of course, there's also staged things in the media, but next to that, there was real terror. It's not like nothing was happening and it was all Disneyland. No, of course not. There was stuff happening.
Most of that was political also. I mean, if you were like a political force in the beginning of the 90s in Colombia and you wanted somebody gone, it was, I think, more easy to make it seem like a drug shooting or something like that. I think that was kind of the hoax at the time. But what I think...
Yeah, but also what happened and still happens today, and that is not reported in the news or maybe in an anonymous way, like in numbers, but not in a story like a shooting, what we get from Vegas or New Zealand or whatever. But is the farmers. I mean, the poor farmers who live in the countryside, they get shot if they don't comply with what the drug cartel is asking them to grow. If they ask them, politely, right? I mean, they tell them, from now on you will grow coca plants for me. Otherwise, we will shoot you and your family. And if they refuse, then that happens. That is not a hoax. I mean, I know a friend of mine here, a Colombian geologist, a woman, she told me that two of her ex-study mates were killed, murdered by paramilitary gangs because they were working on gold mining in an area controlled by the drug cartels. And they had already threats before, and they said to their company, listen, we don't want to go into the field alone, unprotected, because we are being threatened by local gangs, and they murder us if we do that. And then the company, they don't care shit, of course. I mean, the company and the people are replaceable and all that, so they said, no, it's no problem, and you can go there. And then they were murdered. And I believe my friend is not lying about that, and I think these people were really murdered, but it never made the news or so, I mean, right? It's not like a famous hoax or so, famous story in the headline news. No, not at all. It's just something that happens in the countryside with unknown people, and it's those stories that do not get reported, but those stories are real, and there is real stuff going on, real murders going on, right?
Of course, and you can see that the money was flowing at sometimes, I think, but it was strange, this kind of Pablo Escobar revival that happened 3 years or so back. Very weird, I think.
No, I find that part of history really interesting. Really, it's also because I'm here, of course, that also plays a role, but already before that, I found it interesting.
Okay, so I can recommend you an audiobook. It's called Killing Pablo.
Okay.
I don't know the name of the guy. It's Mark something. But the name of the book is Killing Pablo. And it's a look about the hunt for Pablo Escobar and his killing.
Mark Bowden.
The official story.
Mark Bowden.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's a good book to listen to when you have free time. It's a good... read even if you can have it on paper. I listened to it a few years back, and it's really interesting. But then again,
they
will not tell you the whole story.
No, of course, but
So if you are in Colombia, there is a TV called, I think, Caracol TV.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest. You have Caracol, which means like snail, right?
Yeah.
What's the other one? I now forget it. I never watch TV, but I know the Caracol and the other one. Yeah, it's one of the two big. It's like CNN and Fox, but it's not
okay.
So opposite in terms of political things. I mean, Colombian media is very much controlled by the government, like everywhere, but here it's very Yeah, I mean, they're very, they will never criticize anything the president says and all this stuff, right?
Okay, because at the time, the this TV, Caracol TV, made a long, long story about Pablo Escobar. And,
okay.
And it was really a great, great, great series, but the problem was that the French dubbing was like a telenovela's dubbing.
Yeah.
It was almost unwatchable. But I have time to watch it because it played on the time that I have free every day, so I watched it. And it's really, really a good watch also. Even better than Narcos, I think.
Yeah, no, sorry, I watched a couple of episodes of Narcos. But it's horrible and unforgivable that they choose a Brazilian actor, which is a good actor, that's not the problem, but to play Pablo Escobar, man. I mean,
no, because that's what I'm seeing.
There are so many movies, and probably anyone who has watched these movies thinks that every Colombian speaks Paisa. Paisa is the accent, or the people from Medellin and surroundings. And it is a very particular accent of Colombian Spanish. But people here in Bogota, they don't speak like that. And my wife, well, she is from there. So when
good morning,
when
good day,
angry,
good afternoon,
she,
whatever it is, wherever you
like
are.
That.
My name is Velocet, Australia. And you're listening to the Fakeologist audio chat on Fakeologist.com.
Okay, thanks, Velocet. Now, but it's like producing movies from the U.S. in all in Texan accent, and people think like all the Americans speak like real Texan cowboys like that, right? And it's stupid. But yeah, no Narcos. No, but I have watched another documentary or series. It's from a book, and I actually have that book, and it's quite special because I don't have many books. It's called La Parábola de Pablo, and there was a series on Netflix also of that book.
Yeah. La Parábola. Yeah, fascinating guy, and even the guy that were around him are fascinating. The whole story is crazy, even if you know that some of it get to be lies because get to make the thing bigger than he was, and I think that it was like some kind of thing that you can play in front of something that is going on behind it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can say that oh, in this time it was a crazy country because all of that, and then you stop to think that in this time there is much political assassination and much problem even with the guerrillas and all of that is. I don't know much about Colombia, except I've read some in a book about the guerrilla and the fact that it is a country that is supposedly ridden with violence from a very long time, political violence.
Yeah, that's interesting, because 9th of April, so a couple of days ago, I just saw it, actually... I saw it because I clicked on a Twitter link on fakeologist.com. I don't have Twitter and I don't use Twitter. But of this Christmas evil Eve, right? A Christmas Eve evil. And then, clicking on the Twitter link, I saw that day, 9th of April, was the Remembrance Day for the violent period in Colombia. I didn't know that, but okay. And then I looked into it, and it was because of the so-called assassination of Gaitan. And Gaitan was a presidential candidate in 1948, and he was allegedly, the story stinks, but he was allegedly murdered. And that started a period of violence of 9 years, in Colombia. And in that time, I mean, later, of course, that started also the whole conflict with drugs and so later on. But I know of an experience of the family of my wife in the 1980s. They had a business in the center, more or less the center of Bogota. And she told me that there was a bomb explosion, and all the glass in the business was shattered. So there was something going on. I don't know what happened exactly, but there was a bomb. There was an explosion. It was not like some CGI TV thing. No, there was really something going on. And this is the thing what I feel with a lot of people who are fakeologists, and we know about the Boston bombings, and we know about these shooting incidents and all that stuff. And most of it, there is no bullets fired, or there's not a real bomb. But outside of the West, I think it's much easier to just use real stuff. So it's more like a false flag event. Probably the target, they say, died, didn't die. Okay, that's fine. But still, there is something happening. It's not like a complete studio production. No, there is something happening. And especially when we talk about the countryside, I mean, a massacre on farmers and so. I mean, they're not going to give fucking illiterate farmers in the countryside of Latin America a new identity, and they get shipped off to some safe place and a full pension. And so, no, that is not how it happens here, really.
I think is interesting is that these days, like everything, those kind of massacres are filmed most of the time. And I watched some really, really gore video with a friend of mine that is working in the medical field.
Yeah.
And he was saying that it was shit, that it was not real at all.
Do you remember which one it was?
I can say I was watching some stupid things like Brazilian guys chopping the teeth, the finger of a thief, and some bedding in Mexico or something like that. And he said that it was not real.
Okay.
Most of the video that we were watching this night, as we were drinking, was not real.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them was shit, because he was saying, no, it's not possible, because if you chop a finger, even if you are on drugs, you will not act this way, and the blood will not spurt that way, and that is not possible. And sometimes you can see that it was really possible that it was a hoax. So I don't know about that. I think there is much, much more violence that we know of, but the broadcasted violence is most of it is not true.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think the same. But in the back of that, there is things happening, and they don't get the same attention as what Boston bombings or Vegas or name them, right? I mean, the big stories get. But there is, it's not like between 1964 and 1994, nobody ever died in Colombia because of a so-called drug-related case. I mean, that's bullshit, right? No, I mean, we know that that happened.
And I think that it's like if they promote in the media the kind of violence that the government can find a quick answer to, like there was a bomb that detonates in the city, more cops on the street. It's easy, but if you start to say that people are start to mugging old lady at their home, it's a different problem. That the government can say, okay, by tomorrow we will do us so that nobody can go to an old lady place and mug her. You know, they can't do that. It's impossible. So, as I see it, they will promote in the media the violence that they already have answered to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is what I also think. They construct a story because they, and also you see it, because if you look at the legislation that is written, like something like the Patriot Act, right? I mean, that's the big example. But in all other cases, like in gun laws and other social engineering stuff, they also have written that way before. And then it gets passed in parliament, because the parliamentarians, they're not into it, right? I mean, they're not insiders. They just believe it happened, and they pass the law.
Yes, exactly.
But taking the ride, I mean, like lawyer, all this law stuff, it takes a lot of time to write. So it doesn't make sense that in the next week it's already passed. If it would be real, then you would need time first to investigate, and then another investigation, and then you need time to write the laws and the legislations, and then you need someone to check it, and another one to check it, and blah, blah, blah. It takes months to years, right, normally.
Yes, and I think if you start to build any criminal case anywhere in the world, I can say anywhere in the world, because I think in Azerbaijan or some kind of country or Dagestan.
I've been there, like yeah.
You can do what you can do differently, but I think if you want to build a serious criminal case against anybody, even if he started shooting in the crowd and everybody has seen it and it is on video, you will not release his name so fast.
No, exactly. No, exactly, yeah.
Because you want to build a serious case against
him. Yes, yes. That is how real police work. I mean, there is real police work, right? I mean, that is how it happens. You do an investigation, you come up with the name of a suspect that is not released to the press, that is part of a private investigation by the police, and then you need to make a case and gather evidence and make a case to get someone arrested and all that stuff. I mean, that is... It's ridiculous that in the first day already we have a Facebook profile, and then even in the first hour, right? I mean, it's completely bullshit.
I don't know. Maybe if I can find a fossil in the mountain, you can find a passport in the rubble of a tower. Who am I to say the contrary? Who knows? You're really lucky.
Yeah. I mean, you can also stand on the top of the Deutsche Bank building in New York City and hold a 5-centimeter piece of plane with AA logo on it, right?
Exactly. The reality is what you want it to be. But as I see it, it's starting to change in Europe these days.
What sense?
If you believe the news, Italy is complete shit. It's crazy. I've been there, not lately, but I've been there, and I've seen it that it's not that bad. I don't see it that bad, but I think the Europe is start to falling a bit financially.
You mean like Europeans are more waking up?
No, I mean the financial aspect. The people are start to make less money, and the life is starting to get harder.
Yeah, definitely.
But people are, I don't think people are waking up much, because now the gimmick is like the Illuminati or something like that. It's not that serious anymore.
I think there are people. I mean, there are people waking up every day, and the thing is, you don't get back, right? It's not like what you have seen, you cannot unsee, right? And so there are people waking up, and also in Europe. It's not as big as we would like it to be, but I think there are people waking up. And especially if it gets harder, then more people wake up, because it gets harder. I think Russians are one of the best examples of that, because they have lived through so many years of propaganda, clear propaganda, not like the covert propaganda we have in the West, but it's much more overt, that they are much easier to wake up. And also because they have a decent scientific and logical background and philosophy and all that, and history of culture and blah, blah, blah. But,
yes, and the Russian internet also seems to be very different from what we have, the civilian internet, if I can say.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It seems to be very, very different than when we have the different information available, I think. But and if you can use the search engine, Yandex, I think it's the name. Of course, it's state-sponsored, but if you type something in that search engine, you have different results. So
okay.
At least they have that. They have a different kind of bullshit that come in the first page. As we were talking, I was watching something about South America, something, a story I wanted to tell you, because you are in South America. I think no, but did you ever know about Jacobo Arbenz?
Never heard of him, no.
Okay, so I will read the Wikipedia a bit, just a quick read, okay?
Yeah,
Arbenz was born in 1930 to a wealthy family, son of a Swiss-German father and a Guatemalan mother. He graduated with high honors from a military academy in 1935 and served in the army until 1944, quickly rising to the ranks. During blah blah blah, blah 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 blah, blah blah blah. After the alors, in October 1944, several civilian groups and progressive military factions led by Arbenz and Francisco Arana rebelled against President Ubico's repressive policies. In the election that followed, Juan Arvarello was elected president. Arbenz was appointed Minister of Defense and played a crucial role in putting down a military coup in 1949. After the death of Arana, Arbenz contested the presidential election that were held in 1950 and without significant opposition defeated.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Well, to make a long story short, he got to be the president, and then his policy ran afoul of the United Fruit Company, which, by the way, is Vita these days, which lobbied the United States government to have him overthrown. And, then he disappeared from public space. He was even refused from Switzerland at the time.
And then he was replaced by a military junta.
Exactly.
Carlos
Castillo Armas.
When you mentioned him, I mean, I'm sorry, but it's the accent. Nothing against you, but I heard his name, but I'm not an expert at all. So I shared the page in the show notes. I heard of him. I heard of him. Yes.
But it's a big story.
Oh yeah,
I can't believe it because.
I mean, these people, of course. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, there is something going on. What exactly? Let's find out. But there is a kind of, I wouldn't call it movement, but there is kind of a feeling among many so-called fakeologists who project a completely staged and controlled isolated event like Sandy Hook or Boston bombings or so towards everything else, so nobody dies, nobody gets hurt. I mean, that is stupid. That is not, that doesn't make any sense. And if you claim that, then you put yourself in a vulnerable position because you have to prove then, logically, right, that nobody died and nobody got hurt. In an isolated terror event like these baby hoaxes, all this stuff, Vegas, Parkland, Berlin Christmas Market, Nice, Barcelona, you name them, right? I mean, that is an isolated event, and it's easy to stage that with actors and blah, blah, blah. Okay. And there, at those events, probably nobody died, nobody got hurt. Okay, fine. But don't take that as a blueprint for everything else which you haven't looked into. That's like lazy, right?
Yes, so some things get to be real. I think you can say that. I think it was with John Le Bon that I had the debate. But I tend to think like him on some ways. But I think some things get to be real. It's not possible. You can see, as I can say, you can use as proof the industrial development and most of these things. I think there is some truth to it, but of course you can read an history book and say that it's all bullshit, but there have to be some truth to it.
Yeah, and the thing also is, if you talk to, I hate the word, but if you talk to normies, like people who believe generally the news and live in like Disneyland, what I call Disneyland, right? And people who are not into conspiracies and so they generally believe what they see on the news is real, right? Those people. And they then put against us that not believing these specific events, like the real specific isolated events, like Vegas, blah, 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 all the baby hoaxes stuff, that we are trying to present another Disneyland view that it's all fluffy and nobody dies and it's all perfect and people behave completely peacefully with each other. And that is bullshit. That is not how people behave. You have fights in with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, right? Those things happen. And if you have a gun or if you're crazy, then you can shoot someone. That is happening. That is human nature, right? I mean, it's stupid to present a case. And the thing is, if we have a kind of a responsibility, right? Because analyzing these stories and trying to get more people on board with our point of view, we have a responsibility of not becoming someone, what I call, auto-hoaxers. I mean, like, everything is just a hoax and there's nothing happening and nobody dies, nobody gets hurt, all that meme, that narrative. You will never, ever convince anyone, even if he or she is open to our point of view. And rightly so, because it is bullshit to claim that nothing ever happens. That in a traffic jam, two guys start fighting and one gets a gun and shoots the other. I mean, that can happen. That doesn't mean that same narrative, which is presented on the mainstream news and repeated for days, and immediately the victim and the perpetrator are shown with Facebook profiles and blah, 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 that doesn't mean that particular story is real. That can be fake, that's fine, that can be staged, but that doesn't mean that a similar case like that never ever happens, right?
Oh, I think the case that happens are hidden. I think the case that we see are the fake ones. I think, at least from what I can see, but I don't watch much TV or read much news, but from what I can see, that what is hidden is the random acts of violence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is always an undertone, you know? If the guy is an immigrant or something, you can always say he's an Islamist terrorist. If it's a white guy, you can always say, you know, not in a big event, you know, but in small things, you can always orientate the way you want.
Yeah, I usually describe the news as 90% fake and 10% propaganda. Now I'm shifting a bit. I think it's the percentage of real fake stuff is smaller in volume, but bigger in impact.
I think I don't watch the news because I don't have the time, but I can't really tell. So I think what they are saying most of the time is bullshit. So why lose your time watching it? But then again, it's really interesting because I think, like you said, the real things are not that important. You know, if you watch the banners and things like that, stupid things. But maybe one will pop up that is really important, but you will not register because it's on there is that much thing to read on one screen. You don't have the time to register all. But there is interesting that happen all the time if you get the time to filter the news.
Yeah, and it's also interesting to watch how they shifted strategies in getting the quote unquote news to the people, because before, I mean, you were 5 years younger than me, but we're more or less same generation, right? So before it used to be, newspapers and radio and TV, right? Before the internet. But in our adult lifetime, it was mostly the internet, but it was news sites. You had to go to a news site and check the news. Now, how is it funneled down to the people? It's Facebook, right? And Twitter as well. I mean, I'm not so conscious about Twitter because I don't have a Twitter account. I've never used it, but it is the same principle. It's just a small, short snippet of something, and then people click on it, and that is how they get their daily news. Nobody watches TV hardly, right? Even among the so-called normies. But they get their information via Facebook or Twitter. And that is how they get the story. And the thing, the strategy behind that is also, is that other, if your friends start commenting about it, you get triggered or influenced by their response. So if they say, horrible shooting in New Zealand, blah, 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 you are not going to write, yeah, well, actually, I've seen the video, and I don't really believe that someone died there at this mosque because this guy came in with a paintball gun, that's how I describe it, and he didn't really shoot people dead. Because you have a social construct there that if you do that, you are ostracized by your friends who believe the story and not... I mean, you cannot blame them. I mean, they're just in the dark, right? I mean, they're in the matrix, let's say, right? So they're not consciously lying or something. No, I mean, they're just believing it like we did all those years. But it becomes much harder to stray away from the narrative and have an opposite or different view of it, because it becomes part of the social circle much more than before.
I think that what you say, in the end, you end up with the same kind of circle of friends in Facebook, and then they kind of reassure each other, no?
Mm-hmm.
Like pat themselves on the back that it's okay. Oh, we are on the same. But I never used Facebook, so I can't really say.
Yeah, no, I stopped using Facebook now. I stopped watching TV 13 years ago. I stopped watching internet news now 3 years ago. And I stopped using Facebook 2 years ago, let's say, more or less. But when I was already waking up, let's say, right, I mean, recognizing the falsity of stories, I was talking to people on Facebook. And there was just no way to get my point across. I mean, they will immediately brand you like crazy, even though they respect you, and right? I mean, they know that you're not some crazy person, right? I mean, they know. But they recognize you're intelligent, blah, 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 and investigative and creative and all that stuff, right? But still, on the screen, in the Facebook post, and I had several encounters about that, and people unfriending, and people commenting. I mean, I had a discussion with my ex-girlfriend, who is a mother now, and I said, well, listen, yeah, this stuff is going on in Europe, and maybe enforced mass immigration is not such a good idea. And then she started calling racist and all that bullshit. Oh, it's not about that. It's about the future of your children. I mean, you live in Holland. I don't, but you do. But it's immediate, like Pavlov responses, like being programmed by, okay, this is the proper response to that comment. Oh, you're racist. No, it doesn't have anything to do with it, right?
You can speak about with anybody. But I am not that worried about mass immigration, because... If you drop people like in Switzerland, give them 5 years of school, they're like us. They don't care about...
No, I'm sorry.
I think so, because they want a nice car, they just want to be like us. I don't think so. I don't think some... if you take like a Somali guy, I don't think... Maybe he's married to a Somalian girl with 10 years. I don't think his child... Maybe his child will marry a Somalian girl. But their child, no, it's over. Their child will marry on the other community, and I don't think so. I think it kind of changed the landscape. I get to be honest. Let's not be like that. But not that much. It's just more multicultural. But from what I see from here in Switzerland, it's always been like that. We were not that many Swiss in my class in school when I was a child. So I'm not that worried about it. I think if you let enough time, they will be assimilated. I think the problem is that they will be assimilated. Then there will be another batch of zombies.
Hi, on Twitter, at Mark Manuel, and I recommend that you check out fakeologist.com.
Okay, then.
I lived in a very multicultural neighborhood in Holland, and in general, it was okay. It was not like some war zone or so, no. So, but the right-wing politicians are presenting as, yeah, they're all terrorists and they're all killing us. And that's bullshit, of course. But at the same time, the left-wing, they are claiming, yeah, they're all brain surgeons and they're all integrating in one generation. That is also bullshit. So there is a way in between. There's a nuanced way. And what I have seen with my own eyes in France, in two places, I've been to Paris, to the north of Paris, to Saint-Denis, which is really a bad, bad suburb of Paris, and that is not even the worst. It's only where I've been, right?
And it's one of the worst.
Yeah, but it's still, I mean, there are worse places that don't even get mentioned, right? No. And I've seen it also live in Béziers, in the south of where there was the train broke down, and I was going by train from Barcelona to Montpellier, and the train broke down, we couldn't go on, and then we had to wait there in the train station and outside, and we went for food, of course. And there were Moroccan guys that were behaving like complete monkeys, really. And I'm not saying that all Moroccan guys are like that. Of course not. But these guys were doing that. The police, there was a lot of police there. They were doing nothing. They're just standing there doing nothing. And they were throwing bottles. They were spitting on women. They were cursing and insulting everyone, and so they were really behaving like really completely out of this world behavior. And the police was not doing anything. And I was like, what the hell? I mean, I was used to the Dutch bad part of mass immigration, but this was really, wow, I was confronted. And I spoke to other people from that train. I spoke to a guy from fucking Uruguay, right? And I was living in Colombia at that time already, and I was back in my home continent, Europe, and he was like, what the hell is happening here? Is this normal? And I explained what I'm saying now, I mean, in Spanish. I said, no, yeah, that is not really normal, but yeah, this stuff happens in Europe. And yeah, it is, cool. I mean, they are not going to assimilate in one generation, or in two generations, maybe not in three. And so these problems are being brought into Europe, and you cannot deny that it is happening.
Oh, no, I don't think it's. I think you are right in some ways, but what I think is that this is deliberate, that they are brought here to act on the hoodlum model, if you know, to act like thugs. That's the model that is proposed to them, and they accept it willingly. So I think the problem is not that the culture of origin, if you mean, you know, because nobody in the right mind will act like that in their own country, you know. You get to be stupid.
No, indeed, no, of course, you're right.
It's like
you brought
here, you kind of good people, working people, and then your children are Yes, they have the movies, the music, and all this stupid shit, and they bought it directly. And then you get people that start acting stupid, and yes, you can say they are child of immigrants. But that's logic, because that's what the social construct was put upon them, you know? Like, I think for the USA.
But if you take out the personal responsibility of people, I mean, that's the leftist kind of view, right? I mean, they're a victim of their environment. That is not right, of course. I mean, other Moroccan immigrants in France or in Holland or wherever are not behaving like that. So It is not an automatic response. It is their personal, individual thing.
That is only one way that is proposed to them, because of course they will not bring in people that will only do stupid things. They have to bring in people that will work and all that, of course, but I think it's like an if-if situation. Like, if you do that, like, you work the right way and that, it's good. And if you are an hoodlum, it's good also, because then you can instill fear in people, and people will start giving you money.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing like the so-called anarchists. Of course, they're fake anarchists, because they're using violence, right? The Antifa group, the Soros-supported Antifa group, I mean, they're the same thing. They get a free pass to commit violence, and they are supported in that, and not restricted, because that is the agenda, to perpetrate violence.
Of course. That is always the plan, but as I say, I don't think mass immigration is a big of a problem. I think in the end, we all fucked, so we don't really care. It's like, anyway, there is a program for anybody. And it's really hard to extract from that. I think that's the main point that we should be concentrate on. I think where people came from is not really the problem. The problem is where we are going. Where we are going is really scary.
Yeah, I mean, now with all this censorship, and of course, it's just some clip on YouTube or something. But still, we are living in the Allied world, if we take it back to the Second World War, right? I mean, the winners of the war were the Allies, and they defeated the fascists and the communists. And actually, the communists went on afterwards, but what was put against the fascists, the Nazis, was that they burned books and so. And yes, that is right. That is stupid. That shouldn't happen. But now, at the same time, actually, this whole banning of websites and restricting free speech online, that is actually the same thing as burning books, but then virtually. So, who are you to do that if you oppose the fascists who did that, right?
The problem is that with the internet access, the term and condition are really, really, really complicated, because it's like a service that a company offers you. So it's not like something that is free for you use, that you can use to do anything. The company has its own policy, and you're obligated to follow them, even if it did not make sense. So the problem is that you're obligated to use them to even access the internet. Mm-hmm. So the solution might be to find a way to access the internet in another manner, you know. But because if you use the service provider, whichever you use, it's like it's their internet access. It's not yours.
So yeah.
It's at the source, you know.
Yeah.
In the law, in the logic.
Yeah, and also what it does is that, I mean, let's be honest, Facebook is still the world leader in providing online video and audio content. And the thing is, there's kind of movement, but of course, there's enough people producing independent content, and you get to FakeTube, and you get to BitChute, and you get to other websites, and then there will be new. I mean, the free market works like that, right? I mean, there's always a new application and a new idea coming up, and so on. But what is happening is that the main populace, the masses, are restricted from what we have to say. No matter what we have to say, it might be even fucking bullshit, horrible neo-Nazi stuff, but they still should have the right to speak up, right? I mean, I don't agree with them, and I oppose them, and I actively have chatted with them for years now. So. But it still, I don't think it's right to shut them down, right? I mean, and what happens is that in the end, I mean, if you would predict to the future, is that you get a society where the 99% of the people will be only exposed to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, mainstream media, and that 1% is looking at other stuff, alternative stuff, whatever angle, whatever idea, but that alternative stuff. But because they're so small and because they're ostracized by the same companies that act as private companies but actually are military-driven or state-driven or whatever. I mean, there's someone in the background. And that the 1%, so us, the alternative ideas about history and news and all that idea, are marginalized so much and especially made socially unacceptable that in the end, it doesn't matter what you have to say. I mean, we know that arguments don't count. So if you have the best argument to show that 9/11 didn't happen as they presented on the news, it doesn't matter what we have to say and how many arguments you throw, how much science even, right? I mean, like this whole morphing of planes into buildings. If you even throw that, no, it doesn't work like that. I mean, people are conditioned about social constructs. So if my friends don't believe alternative ideas about 9/11 or other stories, then I'm not going to look into that because I will be ostracized by my friends, and that I don't want that. I want my friends, and I want my Facebook, and I want my mainstream news, right?
Yes, and also, if you mention some kind of subjects that I will not mention, you can have to really be seen really fast as a crazy fascist or something like that, you know? There is some things that you cannot speak about, it's clear. But,
you're talking about the AIDS story?
Maybe not.
okay.
But what I want to say is that even your internet provider can decide to no longer provide service to certain websites, you know?
That is what we saw happening in one of the last biggest chats we had, right? Where after New Zealand, the Christchurch so-called shooting, then the internet providers, the biggest providers of Australia, they actively banned access to certain websites. And of course, I mean, if you're smart enough, you don't need to be so smart, but I mean, you need to know how it works, and then you can use a proxy server, and you can get around that. And what we concluded in that talk, and that's right, I mean, the main group of people don't know anything about that, and they just receive whatever is funneled, filtered, literally filtered, through the Orwellian filter of, yeah, this is approved news, and the rest is fake news, right?
I think that's the point, but there is so many information that is not even referenced in Google that it's crazy, but they want you to believe that something is real when it's not, but you can find the information if you look. But they can hide everything, you know? They can hide everything. The problem is that, like you said, we want to do the research because you don't want to be ostracized, you want to have your friends, and then you get your job, and then you get your problems, and then your child has a teeth that is a problem, and I know it's like that, you know, for most of the people, it's like they don't have the time or the energy to do the research. And then, like you said, you can also adopt the point of view that everything is a hoax, and then there is no problem for you.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Dreams, they feel real while we're in them, right? It's only when we wake up that we realize something is actually strange.
Thank you, Christian Slater. Welcome, Russ. Oh, Russ went away. Yeah, I wanted to mention that point which you talked about, because I had an experience. It was almost a year ago. It was a little bit over. like in March last year, Stephen Hawking so-called died, right? And that day, I was still working, not here in Bogota, I was north of here. And I had a lunch with my colleagues, both geologists. And one of these guys, I helped him, and I was like his mentor in helping him in geology and so on. And then, what happens at lunchtime? You talk about the news, right? I mean, that's what happens. So they talked about, Stephen Hawking, he died and blah, blah. And I said, well, I have a different view of that. I don't really think that he died. One of the guys that was playing the role of an actor, Stephen Hawking, died in 1985, and then they put out another guy, wheeled out literally, right? Another guy. And then, I saw my friends, my colleagues, they were not my friends, but my colleagues, I saw them looking at me like, what? I mean, like their mouth open, right? I mean, I respect this guy because he is a scientist, he's intelligent, and he helped me, and blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, he is saying something so completely contrary to my beliefs in the mainstream news and all that. How can I deal with this, right? And I was like, yeah, no, sorry. I explained what I thought about Stephen Hawking and all that, and they were like, okay, well, and then the topic completely froze, and we didn't talk about it anymore in that lunchtime. But I saw the cognitive dissonance. I saw it live in front of me, right? I mean, on one hand, they respect you, and they think, okay, you're a smart guy, and okay, blah, 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 intelligent enough, I listen to what you have to say, and so, okay, fine. But on the other hand, you're saying something so completely outlandishly stupid. I mean, probably they one part of their brain was like, I mean, come on, man, you're a bullshitter, or something like that. They weren't saying any of that, but that I felt that they thought something like that. But so they couldn't handle it. So it froze. So it was actually a good outcome, because I didn't want to talk about it. I just want to hear about their lives and how they were, their families and all that. It's much more important than fucking Stephen Hawking, right? But it was funny how it developed and to see how they reacted to someone. They thought, okay, we're actual level high enough, right? I mean, it's not like the cleaning lady saying that nobody died at 9/11. No, it was like a real the same level type of discussion, right? So, no.
Yes, it's crazy. People are conditioned to think about some events in some certain way. And 9/11 is far away now. It's really far away. Child that are born in 2001 are now 18. It's really significant. I don't think people care about it anymore, because so much has happened since then that I don't think they care anymore. There is big events that we forget about.
So I think you're right, because I think actually it's also one part of the, let's say, the is that people are very much inside the matrix or so. But if you talk to people in real life, most people, I have a bit of a bias, of course, because I'm in a Latin American country where the family is much more important than what's happening on the news. While in Europe, it's the other way around. In general, not everyone, but in general. But indeed, I mean, they believe it, but it's not like they're very much married to it or so. I mean, it's not so very important. They believe it, but in the end, other real life stuff, real things, are much more important than that.
Yes, here is different. Yes, sure. Here it's almost everything, and people are really getting about it. But here it's sport also in Europe, and I think where you are also sport is big.
Yeah, and in a way, I think that's great. I think it's much better to watch football than to watch the news, right? Even though big games are fixed and so, okay, fine. That happens. Yeah, I mean, we know Champions League, blah, 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 of course. But I think it's much better to have that. I mean, at least a footballer is really running, right? I mean, CGI character, right? I mean, they're really running, they're doing something.
Yes, it's like if you watch the rally, the TV. It's like, who cares if the result is fixed? You watch a car racing fast.
Yeah.
I get the point.
I'm a big fan of rally racing, also Formula One. And do you know a Dutch, he used to be the winner of the 24-hour of Le Mans. A driver, do you know Arie Luyendijk?
No, not at all.
Okay. Mm. But, my mother, she used to race with him.
Okay.
So,
racing is great.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But it's really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
These days, it's like a rich man's game. Like,
oh, yes. Yeah.
Like even ice hockey is really expensive with the equipment and all that. Really, the only sport you can, team sport you can do for really not that much money is football here.
That's why I am pretty good at a sport which is really cheap. That's darts.
Yes, darts is cheap also. But yes, the only sport you can have here for almost free is football. And even that, you get to pay. But, I mean, the equipment is not that expensive, but even ice hockey or tennis. If you start to play tennis when you are a child, I think about age 12, if you are good, you need to have a kind of a semi-pro as your coach, and that is really expensive.
Yeah, I agree. But still, the good thing about this is that you need skill. There is still skill involved, right? It's not like some Miley Cyrus producing a pop song and it sells for how many million dollars, right? No, there is skill involved still in sports.
Yes, more. There is also genetics, of course, because if you look at Serena Williams, you know, you get
we get in just but if we look at Lionel Messi, Lionel is a Jewish name, but and he's from Rosario, Argentina, I mean he is a talented player, no doubt, right?
Yes, but the thing is that they give him some kind of treatment to make him grow a bit when he was a child.
I know. Yeah.
Some kind of freaky treatment to make him gain something like 10 or 15 centimeters. So he was supposed to be even smaller.
Yeah.
So he who knows if they in fact give him some kind of super soldier, something like that, you know? Because what he's doing is really special.
Mm. Yeah, my biggest the one I regard as the best football player, actually is his mentor. It was Ronaldinho.
Oh, the best was the real Ronaldo.
No, really? Yeah? You think so?
He was the best. No, in fact, the real best were the older ones, because I was watching about Maradona. And,
but Maradona is a motherfucker. That's the problem.
What we tend to forget these days about football is that at the time you can talk, you can tackle somebody from behind with both feet up without a problem. You know, I was watching a documentary about Maradona, and they were showing a short clip of him getting beat up in a match that he was playing with Barcelona. And you can see that the other team were really getting at him, you know, like knocking him down, like tackling him, even when he didn't have the ball. It was a different kind of football. So I think he like, scored 20 goals in those conditions, way more than 50 now that if somebody even walk on your feet, you can start to lay on the ground and scream like you're dying.
No, yeah, I agree. Yeah, true. It has become more snowflakey than before. But in that sense, still, Johan Cruyff, I mean, his football skills were out of this world. But especially his philosophy and how he rebuilt Barcelona, because Barcelona was nothing, and he rebuilt it to a big team again. And he was also a very nice person, very good personality. And I think that combination makes him really, really amazing. And his remarks are so philosophical. They're shallow and deep at the same time. It's easy, and still it's difficult. That for me, of course, I'm a bit biased because he's Dutch, but it's the overall package, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. But also, something we got to take in consideration is that at the time, they were playing with wool sweaters in July.
Yeah,
that was different. Because at the time I bought a replica from a Barcelona shirt, like in the 50s or the 60s. I don't even remember. It was a long time ago. But it was a wool sweater that you can almost wear in the winter under a vest, you know.
So you're also a Barcelona fan?
No, it was for sale, very cheap. But I always like Barcelona because of Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
But my team when I was a child was Milan, because Milan was winning everything.
When you were 9 years old with Kulit van Basten and Rijkaard, right? Sorry, Dutch angle. Yeah.
And here we also have a football team, but it sucks. Maybe we will get promoted to first division, but we will go down the next year, so who cares? Because they brought in some shady individuals twice to take the club over, and they did so bad that they get how can I say, they got no money left, so they get relegated to like a four league below and something like that.
All
over again, bring new players, and at the time. In the last, the first time the club got down, it was with Christian Carambeu. He was playing there in Geneva for one season. It was awful. I went to watch a few games with my little brother. It was awful.
Perth, WA, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Thank you, Nightly News. I think it was you.
But as you said, I think football is kind of dead, no? It's like a wimp sport, you know? I think most of the sport now is fixed. Maybe it was always the case.
No, but as you said, I mean, like in the 1980s and 70s, they were doing slidings with two legs and so, and stuff that is not allowed anymore, and then people were still playing. And now it's, that's what I hate about all these Italian teams. I mean, like, screaming like babies when someone touches their shoulder lightly, right? Come on, man.
Yes, and no, everybody do that. But, it was different at the time because the money is what changed everything. You can have a decent team in a small town if you don't put that much money, like Wolfsburg or something like that, or Qatar. That is
against Juventus.
I'm sorry.
Ajax Juventus.
Yes, I watched just the goal.
Okay.
What was the full game?
No, it was... I mean, I actually doing great. I mean, it is a little bit of pride. I mean, I was 16 when I won the Champions League. So I was, yeah. 1995. So you were 11.
Yes, I was 11 or 12 at the time. 12, I think, because I was born in May.
Okay. Oh, they're doing great. I mean, they're one of the teams now. Yeah, I like it.
But that is a kind of what made me think it's fake. Huh? Because
it's like a cycle.
Every 10, 20, yeah. 15 years, you know, maybe in 2 or 3 years we will have Manchester winning for 2 or 3 years straight, and then it will be Bayern, you know. It's like a city promotion.
Yeah.
Company promotion, you know?
No, for sure. Last year, it was so completely visible with Real Madrid, which I hate, of course. I mean, I'm a Barcelona fan, so, and I lived in Madrid, so that's even worse. But they beat Juventus at the last game of Buffon, you know, Buffon, the goalkeeper. I mean, it was a clear case of fixing. Clear. And it was not the only case. So, once you get to the quarterfinals, semifinals, that is fixed. Yes.
I think so, because there is too much money. Nobody will be stupid enough to put that much money. And one thing that you can see, it most of the team this day are sponsored by Fly Emirates.
Yeah.
So, if you get the same people giving money to almost like half of the team in the semi-final, then you get a problem, I think.
Yeah.
And then it's like I said, nobody will put that much money in something if the end result is not fixed at the start. And it's like bread and games, you know, like people are getting occupied by it. You know, it's like us. We are on a kind of conspiracy audio stream speaking about football, you know. Like we derive.
No, okay, but at least we recognize it's leisure, it's pastime, it's entertainment, right? I mean, but if we look at the so-called normies, let's say the mainstream believers, I'd rather have them watch football than watch the news, right? I mean, it's much better, it's much more innocent.
Yes, and in football, it's something that is like, I don't know, for other parts of the world it's different, but here, when you get nothing to do as a child, you always have the ball, at least.
Same here.
So it's like football, when you watch when you are born in Europe and you watch a football game, soccer for American friends, it's like, it's something that is in your soul, if I can say, you know?
Yeah,
I could have done that. When I was a kid, I run fast. You know, it's like something that is in you. You have grown with it.
Yeah.
You can remember what, you know, like when Liverpool beat Milan in the 2005 final of the of the Champions League. I remember where I was.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you remember some things. You know, it's special. It's a deep conditioning.
Yeah, I mean, my wife, she used to work for the biggest football magazine in Colombia, which is great. I mean, meeting a girl who likes football, right? Well,
at least you can watch the game without a problem.
Yeah, we watch so many games together. Exactly. Especially when we watch the World Cup in Brazil. I mean, it was both Holland and Colombia together. Yeah, it was great, really.
Yes, it's wonderful. Yes, we had the Euro in Switzerland about 11 years ago.
Yeah.
But it was really closeted, and people in Switzerland are really cold, so it's special.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, sport is a big part of the conditioning, I think, because it's related to everyone. People are really fanatic about that, even more so than the living condition or something like that.
Yeah, in this sense, it's you're right. I mean, it's a bit of a downside, you could say. But on the other hand, I look at it positively, because
I really prefer, I mean, I have been in so many taxis in my life all around the world. Right now I'm not traveling, right now I'm very much home-based and so on, but in the past, you know, I'm a geologist, so I traveled a lot around the world. And what you can always talk about in a taxi or with other people is football, the sport. And that is, it's innocent in a way. It's not going about the latest terror attack or so, right? I mean, I prefer people talking about football than about that. If we have to talk about something not related to our own personal lives and much more important stuff, then please sports, then some terror event and baby hoax bullshit, right?
Yes, but I think it's really tribal sport. Because it's one of the only occurrences when people say we won the World Cup, we did that. You see the goal we score at the end. It's crazy. That always gets me, you know, that people say we about a football team. And even I think in the last 10 minutes, I even say that we even might be promoted. You know, I say I said that.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. Like I said, it's a really really deep conditioning. So I enjoy sports, but I take it for what it is. Another tool, I think.
Yeah, I know, it is. But we are at a level, real we, right? I mean, we are at a level that we can discern these different viewpoints, right? And we can enjoy a sports game, and at the same time, we can see it as conditioning and trying to get the masses together and blah, 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 right? I mean, there's no, how do you say it? There's no contradiction in those kind of points.
Yes, it's but like theater of some sort.
Yeah, but the real theater, or no, maybe not the right word, but, I mean, the other theater, the illusionism, as I like to call it now, these terror hoaxes and all that stuff, that is also, we stand strong with blah, blah, blah. That I find much more disturbing. I find it much less disturbing and much more innocent if we stand strong with Barcelona or the Swiss national team or the Dutch national team or anything, than if we stand strong with some people in some hoax in some country, some stage event, sorry, in some country which we don't know.
Yes, yes, it's true. What I start to think this day is that the UFC is fixed, you know? Like boxing is fixed.
Uh-huh,
I start to think that the UFC is fixed because I watch many UFC fights and I see that it's not really real, you know? Like, if for the right amount of money, anybody can punch somebody in the face, you know. You take a poor loser that trained all his life for not a penny, then you tell him that if another loser will punch him in the head for 15 minutes straight, he will make $100,000.
I mean, in that sense, the movies are right, right? I mean, Snatch, I mean, you go down in the third round, I mean, that makes sense. And in a way, it's sad because I'm not a big boxing fan at all, but boxing is really the most down-to-earth sport there is, right? I mean, it is very personal. It is
yes,
without...
Fighting in general.
Yeah.
Fighting competition is it's primal.
Yeah.
It's a one-on-one, and it's a test of strength. It's a...
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy. The legends go that the Spartans retired from the fighting competition in the first Olympic Games because they were wanting to ban eye gouge and fish hooks and grabbing the testicles.
Uh-huh.
And they said that... the legend goes that they say that it was not real fight. If you don't let people put their finger in your eyes and things like that.
No, yeah, of course. Hmm.
But yeah, there is something very, very, very strong about fighting also. But it can be staged without a problem.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it's a one-on-one sport, of course, yeah.
Yes, and you can, it's like everything. You can take in account some accidents. You know, one guy punch a little too hard, the other guy fall down, and then didn't let him enough time to recover, or flash KO, or something like that. It can happen, but I think, I start to think that this whole thing is staged, you know? Like I said, who will put any money, who intelligent will put any money in something that you cannot determine? No, if it's like it's an entertainment company at the end. It's not like some kind of passionate, like from of darts, like you say. There's an association, and it's like, okay, this guy likes darts. They will not put a magnet on the dart or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Because there is not that much money to be made. But if you start making big money, I don't think... It's like when we were speaking about football. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
At the time,
yeah,
we have some great players in Geneva because they were not paid that much. Switzerland has a good life. So people will come here and play some football for 2 or 3 years, make good money, and then go back to Germany or France or something like that. But no, it's not possible because the money is really... in the sense, I say.
Another sport is the Tour de France, like cycling, right? I mean, these people, I respect them very much, right? I mean, that is, even with doping, it's fucking hard to cycle for 3 weeks, 150 to 180 kilometers a day in a row, and winning. And yes, and that is also why I think that this Lance Armstrong case was placed as a kind of a boogeyman. Let's put our anger towards him. Anyway.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, Ab and Abba.
Yes, I think the thing is that with Lance Armstrong is that it came just after... before Lance Armstrong, the biggest scandal of doping in cyclism was Festina.
Uh-huh.
Festina
uh-huh.
was a French team. So that was really looking bad for Tour de France, to have a French team be the biggest cheater in the history. So when they start to see that they have a way to get Lance Armstrong on that, they go at him directly because... you know, it's like hiding the fact that Festina was an organized team like around doping, a French team at that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was nice chatting with you, but I have to sleep some hours because
yes.
I'm waking up early tomorrow in like 5 hours and a half.
I understand, man. Hey, it was good. Have a good night, man.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bonne nuit.
Merci beaucoup.
Bye.
À bientôt.
À bientôt.
Hi, I'm Joe from Atlanta, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
You don't have free will. You have the appearance of free will.
Hello, I'm Del Qua, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.
I'm really the end of it, and that's all, folks.